We are in Philippians chapter 4, verses 14 through 23, completing the chapter and therefore the epistle. So let's read Philippians chapter 4, verses 14 through 23. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts, what I desire is that more be credited to your account. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet all God's people in Christ Jesus. The brothers and sisters who are with me send greetings. All God's people here send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Last week, as we considered that godliness with contentment is great gain, I mentioned that being content is a prerequisite to both giving and receiving. When we are content, satisfied with who we are, where we are, and what we have, because we are satisfied in Christ, because we are living according to God's will and timing, we will willfully and joyfully give what the Holy Spirit prompts us to give. So, that is sort of that first condition. We will not hold back because we know, we are confident that we have everything we need, and we are confident that God will supply all our future needs. We are satisfied. We are content. We know that the Lord is with us. And so because of that confidence and assurance and faith, we willingly, joyfully give all that we have. And when we are content, satisfied with who we are, where we are, and what we have, we will receive what is given to us with gratitude and joy, not because we feel we are lacking something or eagerly desiring something or we are too proud to receive help, but because we know what it feels like to give as the Lord directs, and we want others to experience the same blessing of the Lord. So giving and receiving is not about the material things at all. It's all about the Lord. It's keeping His truth in mind. It's understanding His purpose and will. It's listening to the Holy Spirit. It's obeying what the Lord would say. And therefore, we give and we receive with a clear heart, clear conscience, an ability to worship the Lord and rejoice in Him. So let's dig a little deeper as we go through these truths. The matter of giving and receiving is to be our manner of life. This is how we're supposed to live. This is not something that is restricted to a Sunday morning or whenever you decide to go online and give. This is an attitude and a lifestyle, a manner of our daily lives. Paul says to the Philippians, no one shared in the matter of giving and receiving except you. The ESV states, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. So he's describing something that is a very definite set of actions. It's not accidental, it's not when it's convenient, it's not as you think about it, you know, it's suddenly reminded about it. It's not because of public sort of obligation or pressure. It's not because an appeal is made. It is a matter of lifestyle that you would say, this is what I do. I listen to the Lord and I give. I listen to the Lord and I receive. So it's a manner of life. Giving and receiving in the world's terms is primarily about power, position. You know, when somebody in power gives to somebody who is not, or you know, makes it clear that they're doing it because they have the power to do so, or they're in the position to do so, and that becomes the focus of it. So giving in the world's terms is primarily about power or pride or prestige. Look at me, I'm so wealthy, I can give, you know, look at how much I give. Or it's possibly about need. There's a deficit or lack of some kind, and we say, oh, you know, we feel moved in some way, or we feel guilty in some way, or some kind of emotional appeal is made, and there's a need that we respond to, and so we, you know, act in all those ways. And then a lot of times, giving in terms of the world's terms, or giving as the world would understand it, giving and receiving, has an obligation. And there's this pressure to either, to do something for that person in response, or that person expects something because they've given. Right? Giving and receiving in the kingdom of God, according to God's principles in economics, it's meant to be a deliberate, ongoing, integral part of our lives related to building the kingdom of God and the church by partnering with or investing in the lives of others because of our shared relationship, fellowship in the Lord. It's not based on any of those other things that the world would look at. We're saying we give and we receive because we are united in the Lord Jesus, because we're part of the same body of Christ, because I'm sensitive to the Holy Spirit and obedient to Him, and therefore I give and I receive. As we do that, as we are paying attention to that, when we give, we don't place ourselves in a superior position or as a creditor to whom something is owed. We don't say, I've given, now you owe me something, or you know, you're obligated to me. And when we receive, we don't place ourselves in an inferior position or as a debtor obligated to pay back or reciprocate. We're not saying, oh, you helped me, oh, now I owe you something. All right? We're not doing it like that. We give freely because we have received freely. We receive joyfully because we care for each other. And keep in mind that there are lots of scriptures that have sometimes been taken out of context even to imply that giving is only for the purpose of receiving back, right? That you would give so that you can get. That's not the principle of the Word of God. Now, the Word of God does say, give and it'll be given back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. There are all these verses of that kind that show clearly that there is a sowing and a reaping, that as you sow, you will reap. These are truths that are biblical. But these are not meant to be used in a manipulative way so that we would say, well, I've given this, now I expect a hundredfold return. Because at that point, you're not giving as unto the Lord. You're not giving willingly and joyfully. You're not giving for the sake of the other. You're giving to gain. You're giving so that you will receive. And that's exactly the opposite of what the Word of God is teaching us. So keep all of those things in mind. We're not giving and receiving as the world does. We're giving and receiving as the Lord would teach us. And, you know, when I say that we're not obligated to pay back, or that we're not becoming debtors and we should not think of ourselves like that. I'm not saying don't pay your mortgage. I'm not saying don't pay your car loan or your student loan or whatever else. If you've taken on a financial obligation in the world, you have a responsibility as a child of God to honor every bit of that obligation and that commitment and that whatever that action is that is there that you have taken. In fact, as we learned in our stewardship and giving series regarding our financial obligations, we have a responsibility as children of God, as stewards of His resources, we have a responsibility to manage debt wisely, to pay off loans, and to account for every financial commitment. We need to do that. That is a call on our lives and a responsibility that the Lord calls us to, and we are able to do that. When we give as unto the Lord because we're not merely, because we're not owners, but we are stewards, right? We are the stewards, the managers of the Lord's resources. So we're not saying, I will do this. We're saying, what does the Lord want to do with these resources? And let me be a manager, a steward of the Lord's resources. And in this context, and again, if you have any questions about this, watch the series, but otherwise ask me anything about this, but our primary giving is to the local church, or should be to the local church. Now, through the church, we may be supporting missionaries all over the world, we may be doing all sorts of things, and you may have some things that you are doing directly or separately, but the primary giving is to the local church. It is the place in which we are planted, flourishing, and contributing to the life and well-being of the brothers and sisters that are united with us in that local assembly. And we're saying, these are the group of people, this is the group of people that I am committed to and I am investing in, and they are investing in me, that we're building these bonds of love in the Holy Spirit, in the Lord, so that we may benefit one another. And so our giving is primarily channeled in the local church. I'm coming to a very important point about this, because as I'm saying all these things, maybe you're thinking only about money and financial things and material resources. But since giving and receiving according to God's economics is not primarily about silver or gold or goods or services, let's consider one more very important point about what we should give and how we should give. In Acts chapter 3, we read this account that as Peter and John were making their way to the temple to pray, they encountered a lame man by the gate. As soon as I start saying these statements, you're already thinking of that Sunday school song, right? Peter and John went to pray. They met a lame man by the way. And the lame man looked to Peter and John for some financial help. Now, he had been there many years. And they probably passed him by many times. But on that day, they kind of got his attention. He got their attention. And he looked at them expecting some financial help. And here's how Peter responded. Acts chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. And the rest of the song, and he went walking and leaping and praising God. Yeah, we know it, right? We know the story. We know the account. It's very familiar. But pay attention to this detail. Peter says, "I don't have silver or gold, but what I have, I'll give to you." As we study the Word of God, demonstrated godly character, as we build community, as we manage God's resources as God's stewards, God lavishly gives of himself and his kingdom to us. The Bible says it is the Father's good pleasure to give his kingdom to his children. He delights in, he is glad to, he rejoices in being generous to us. But as he does that, he's not saying, I'll give you more and more wealth, silver and gold, the riches of this world. He is giving us what we need for our life and godliness. He's giving us his word. He's giving us his spirit. He's giving us his grace and his mercy and his kindness. He's causing us to be transformed into his image, into his likeness. And he's giving us of himself. I am your greatest reward. That's what the Lord said to Abraham. That's what he says to us. Which means that as we live and move and have our being in the Lord, we are being filled with all the fullness of the Lord. As we live and move and have our being in the Lord, there's a lot more in us to draw from and give to others. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, when we are bearing the fruit of the Spirit, when we receive and then minister the gifts of the Spirit, when we are led by the Spirit to pray for each other, we can say with confidence to anyone in need, what I do have, I give to you. That should be our joy. That should be our motivation. So if there's a need, you may be able to meet a need in the physical, in the natural, in the financial terms, or whatever it may be, material terms. You may be able to do that, and that may be how the Lord leads you. But I want to assure you that there's a whole lot more that you can do too. It's not just about meeting some physical need. It's not just about giving money. As Peter says, what I do have, I'll give to you. So the attitude, the mentality, the mindset is not about saying, well, I don't have, so then clearly I'm not included in this command. I'm not included in the matter of giving and receiving. I'm not included in this challenge to make this a manner of life and of my lifestyle. Maybe someday when I win the lottery, maybe someday when I get that promotion, maybe someday when I sell my business, maybe someday I will have enough to give. Right? That'll never happen. Because when you get to that point, you will say, maybe when I have a little bit more. Right? That is our human tendency. That is the way that we operate. So the challenge is to understand the call of God and the word of God so that we say, Lord, fill me. Fill me with yourself. Fill me with your truth. Fill me with your power. Fill me with your everything that you have promised in your word, so that when there is an opportunity to give, I will be able to give. Which brings us to Paul's conclusion. The matter of giving and receiving is to give and receive the grace of God. Paul ends his letter to the Philippians the same way he began the letter. In chapter 1, verse 2, right at the beginning of his letter to the Philippians, he wrote to them, the grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you. Now here in chapter 4, after having described the nature of the peace of God and that the peace of God guards our hearts and minds and don't be anxious about anything, set your mind on the things above, these are the things that you must think about. He's gone through all of those things. He's lived out or shown them what it means to understand and to appropriate the peace of God. And then he's also speaking about the grace of God. How does he end his letter? He ends his letter in the very same way. He says here in chapter 4, verse 23, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. After all that Paul has taught, and all that he has done, he is very clear. I'm not doing these things by my strength. I do this by the strength of the Lord. And I'm not able to give you anything in return for all that you have done. He's just written about this, right? He says, you have met all my needs. You did things where nobody else did it. You helped me in my time of need. And I'm not paying you back by saying, oh, how much was that worth? Okay, let me send you a check. He says, the grace of the Lord be with you. What is the greatest thing that I can give to somebody else? That I would receive the grace of God and then share the grace of God. When we go to somebody, as we talk about community outreach, as we talk about reaching out to folks who don't know the Lord, what is it that we're sharing with them? Do we go to them and say, we'll meet your physical needs, come to Jesus? We'll meet your, you know, we'll pray for you and you'll get healed, come to Jesus? What we really want to share with everybody, the unchurched, the de-churched, you know, everybody that would even in some way even just hear this truth, what we want to share with them, what we want to give them is the grace of God. More than anything else, we want to give and receive the grace of God, because God's grace refers to the unmerited favor and divine assistance that he gives us as his children, that he gives to anyone who would receive. He has already done everything. He's already paid the price. He's already gone to the cross. He's already shed his blood. He has done all things that are necessary for us to receive this grace. All that we would need to do is to say, Lord, thank you, I receive. But that gift, that provision, it is his favor, his blessing, and his kindness that we receive and then give freely to others. Why is it that we can be kind to somebody else? Why is it that when the word says, turn the other cheek if somebody strikes you on one cheek, why is it that you can do that? How is it that you can love your enemies? What is it that you can do to show love and not hate? Only if you have received the grace of God and then share that grace. It's not your strength. It's not your, you know, your great moral character, your, you know, willpower, your abilities, your training or education. None of that. It is only because you have received the grace of God that you can then show that grace to others. Most importantly, the saving grace of God blesses us rather than cursing us as our sin deserves. Humanity today has gone away from the notion of sin even, but it is an absolute reality that we are sinful beings. We turn from a true and living God. We reject the truth of God and we say it's all about me. We oppose the wooing of the Lord. And in that reality, in that condition, our sin, the wages of our sin, the result of our sin should be our death. Instead, God shows grace. He forgives, he pardons, he cancels his mercy. By his mercy, he cancels our debt of paying the wages of sin and does that through Christ's sacrifice on the cross. Jesus came to fulfill that purpose. God's mercy withholds the punishment that we deserve, and he pays the price. He goes through and sheds his blood as the atonement, the perfect sacrifice for our sin. But God's grace goes even further. It's not just his mercy to pay the price and to say, okay, you're cleared of this sin or of this penalty. His grace gives us a blessing that we don't deserve. His mercy keeps us from the punishment that we deserve. His grace gives us a blessing that we don't deserve. He goes even further. And when he gives us that grace, God's grace, he provides forgiveness, reconciliation, his Holy Spirit, an abundant life, a contented life on earth, and eternal life with him in heaven. God has done all this and provided all of this. So when we speak about grace, when we read these scriptures, when Paul opens with this salutation and saying grace and peace to you, he's not just doing it as, you know, you pick a template and this is the standard line that will show up on the top, to whom it may concern. And then at the very end, it'll say sincerely. That's not what he's doing. He's not just filling in a template that on the top it says grace and peace to you in Christ Jesus, and the bottom it says grace and peace to you, amen. He means this. He's reminding his readers and us. He is pointing out that grace has been given to us. Grace is what we now need to extend. So, we must respond and apply the word of God that we have heard by giving ourselves fully to what matters to God. God, what matters for Him and what matters to God, as far as we are concerned, there are so many things that the Word of God shows us, calls out, describes. But there is this one very important point that Paul is making here at the close of his letter to the Philippians. It is this matter of giving and receiving. Giving and receiving matters to God. It was because that it matters to God that He gave His only Son. It was because giving and receiving matters to God that He gave us eternal life. It was because giving and receiving matters to God that He gave us the Holy Spirit. That is such a clear and strong principle throughout the Word of God that we can't ignore it. And so, what do we do in response? Our partnerships, our fellowships with one another in the body of Christ, in the church, we need to think about it in these terms, as God would see it, and say, how can I, Lord, in the midst of this situation, in this context, what can I do to give and receive as You give and receive? We talk even in our worship service, we start out by saying we give worship to God. We give glory to God. We give thanks to God when we pray, when we testify, when we stand together in the ways that we do. We're saying we're giving this to the Lord. So all of that the Lord receives, and the Bible speaks about it in very definite terms, that our prayers come up to the Lord as a sweet savor, that our offerings of praise, that He is pleased with it, that when we give our lives and offer our bodies as living sacrifices to Him, it is pleasing to Him. So clearly the Lord receives what we give with great joy. The principle of giving and receiving, clearly these aspects are mentioned here and lived out in the ways that the Bible describes. But this point that I want to make to this morning is that we would seek out actively, that we would be diligent. Be diligent, of course, in all the matters that need the direct financial kind of things or material things that are necessary for the well-being of the church and the body of Christ. But seek out, be diligent to ask the Lord, how can I give and receive in the church in a way that builds up the church? What is it that I need to be full of? And as we did when we went through the consideration of the gifts of the Spirit, the Lord will fill each one of us in an appropriate way so that we need each other for the body to function. Each member, each part of the body doing its assigned, fulfilling its assigned responsibility, doing its part, so that we will say, here, I'm doing this and that's going to help you, and you're doing this and it's going to help me, and we will together build the body of Christ. So here's the challenge, or here's the closing statement that I'll make to you this morning. Pray and ask the Lord, Lord, what is it that I need to receive from You? Maybe it's physical healing. Maybe it's mental well-being. Maybe it's to grasp what forgiveness is because you have been holding on to unforgiveness. Maybe it is to deal with roots of bitterness, so much hurt, Nothing that you did against somebody else, maybe, but something that someone has done against you that has deeply hurt you. And there have been roots of bitterness that are growing in you. Maybe it's that you have to receive that plucking out and weeding out of those roots of bitterness. Maybe you need to receive cleansing. Maybe there's something that has so deeply affected you that you need to be cleansed. Maybe you need to be washed and made afresh, cleansed of everything. Maybe there's some other things that you need to receive from the Lord. Pray. Ask Him, what do I need to receive? Maybe it's wisdom. Maybe you're facing a situation where you need to receive the wisdom of God and apply that wisdom into your situation with great deliberate precision. You need to receive that. Maybe it's to receive the favor of the Lord. You're going into a situation where people have to receive you favorably. They have to open doors. They have to respond to you. Maybe it's a very difficult environment that you're in. Whatever it may be, pray. Start seeking the Lord. Discern His voice and receive everything from the Lord that you need to receive. He's not holding back. If this is the principle of the Lord to give freely, He's not holding back. He gives us what we need. Sometimes we may ask for something that we don't need. But I'm saying discern of the Lord to ask Him for what you need. He won't hold back. He won't say, yeah, I know you need it, but I'm not giving it to you. The Bible says that He desires, He longs to fulfill the desires of our heart when our hearts are aligned with His heart. And as we do that, as we pray and wait on the Lord and say, Lord, I want to receive from You all that You have intended for me, all that You have purposed for me. Even before I was alive, You had a path, a purpose, a plan. You had a hope and a future for me. Help me to, Lord, receive all of that. And then, having received all from the Lord, and not waiting until you feel you've received all, but even as you receive from the Lord, pray and start giving. Give. Look for the opportunities. Ask the Lord, how can I give? What should I give? When should I give it? Whom should I give this to? In what ways can I glorify You and be a good steward of what You have given me that I can bless somebody else, or that You can bless somebody else through me? But stop praying like that. Let me receive and let me give. If every single day of our lives we would do this, I assure you by the end of the day, when you go to sleep that night, you will sleep in a much more peaceful state than if you didn't do this. You will be able to say at the end of the day, thank You, Lord, for blessing me. Thank You, Lord, for Your abundance, Your overflow. And thank You that I was at least in some part able to give to somebody else. Let us be diligent in this matter of giving and receiving. Heavenly Father, thank You so much, Lord, that this morning, even as we celebrate what You have done for us and how You came into this world and lived and then died and then rose again, just for our sakes. I thank You, Lord, that You did all of that because it is the very nature of God to give, to lavish, to be extravagant, to be, Lord, doing things for us that we don't even deserve. Thank You for that, Lord. And because You give in those ways, I thank You, Jesus, that we can receive freely and then give freely what we have received. Father, even as we join with Your word, we resonate with Your word, but we join with Peter, I pray, Father, that You will lead each and every one of us to give as You lead us with whatever we have. Let us not look at what we don't have. Let us not consider whether we are good or bad or compare ourselves or do anything else to someone else. Let us be content to be led by the Lord to give what we have. And as we do that, Father, I thank you, Lord, that this body will be built up. I thank you, Lord, that the body of Christ across the world will be built up. I thank you, Lord, that your kingdom will be built up. I thank you, Lord, that your will be done. And I thank you, Lord, that your purposes will be fulfilled. We thank you that we have the privilege of being a part of that. We're not bystanders. We are actively engaged in your plan, in your grace, in your giving and receiving. Make it so, Lord. Let it be. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.